Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Great to see all of you gathered here this morning. I'm looking forward to this journey through these signs in John's Gospel. You may want to keep your bulletin handy if you are intrigued with, I'm going to make reference to certain verses here as I share a message. You know, here at Peace Lutheran Church, we are very invested in offering prayer, sharing prayer. And that's not unique to Peace, but that is an activity that Christians recognize as very beneficial for our faith. And by the way, even science is saying that those who pray show all sorts of benefits from just praying and uplifting their concerns. I want to highlight as I begin my sermon the way that we practice prayer at Peace and how you can get involved in that. One way that we offer prayer is that you can contact me and have your concern, your name, or person that you're praying for listed on the prayer, on the prayers here at church. Those names are, of course, listed here in the bulletin. That's what you see. And then on Sunday morning, I uplift those names in the prayer services, in the service, as I'm going to do later in our service. That's one way that we do offered prayer, is contact the pastor. He'll put it down a list. There's a second way you can share your prayers. Peggy Krueger's here today. Peggy, can you raise your hand over here? It's okay to raise hands. Yeah. Peggy leads a prayer chain ministry here at Peace. Concerns are shared with her. Maybe Wednesday I email you or so. And then Peggy's been sending out through the prayer chain email to the rest of those people in the group. I don't know how many are people in that group, but this happens every Thursday. Prayers are going out, and we get quite a few prayer requests that way. That's a second way to be involved in prayer here at Peace. Third way, if you want to offer a prayer, have it shared at Peace. I want to highlight Elaine Schwartz. She's in the back. Elaine, can you raise your hand? Everyone knows Elaine. She's right back there. You can send a text, call her. She really prefers text, right? Text is her mode of operation. You can text her a prayer concern. And what she leads is Eat, Chat, and Pray on Wednesday mornings at 7:30 a.m. And that's a confidential time in which prayers are uplifted, and that's lady-led. But men, if you have a concern, you can share it with Elaine, and the ladies will pray for it on Wednesday. And then finally, I just want to highlight, too, the first Sunday of every month, here at Peace, we're bringing back the prayer, healing, and renewal service, which the pastor and elders pray over concerns. You can come in and share that with us. I guess I'm highlighting all these things so that you can see active ways in which prayers are offered at the church through multiple people, multiple avenues at the church. So we offer prayer. We're all used to that. And we do that. And that's really important. We want to highlight that. We also have answered prayer at the church that we will mention. Not so good at mentioning that, but we also highlight our thanksgiving for those answered prayers sometimes on those lists and in those groups that meet. But this morning, I want us to think about, what about the time in between? We don't often think about that. What about the time in between that we offer a prayer and the time that the prayer is answered? What kind of attitude, what kind of behavior, what kind of way should we walk in our faith between those two points in time? I think our text from John chapter 4, this healing of Jesus, a second sign in a listing of seven, actually addresses this exact topic, the healing of the royal official's son. We'll get there and how this is something that can play out into our own lives. But this is an amazing miracle that happens here in John 4. It doesn't get highlighted all that much, but it may be one of Jesus' most amazing miracles. I don't know if you caught it, but he healed this young man from 18 miles away. Jesus is in Cana, and this young boy is in Capernaum. But what we want to get to today is especially is this topic. How do we behave? How does the royal official behave in between the time of offering his request to Jesus and to the time in which he finds out that his son is healed? We know that he offers a prayer request to Jesus. If you look at the text, it's right there in verse 47. He comes to Jesus and he is very desperate, this royal official. He comes down to Cana. He travels 18 miles to get there from the city that he's from, which is Capernaum. And you can imagine that at this point, he had already gone through a lot of remedies to help his son in the healing process. Traditional medicine, for sure. Doctors and nurses, yeah. Non-traditional medicine, which was very popular back in this time. Going out to spas and healing resorts, which was very popular. He had gone to all these sorts of places. And he comes to Jesus and he begs Jesus. This is how desperate he is. It's important to get to what the Greek is here. The tense of that verb is imperfect, which is very rare in the New Testament. And what that is saying is that this man was almost to the point of pestering Jesus over and over again. Continual is what that tense means. He's asking Jesus for help. That's his request, over and over again, asking Jesus to do something. He's desperate. Maybe you can relate to that this morning. Maybe there is something that you have that you've repeated. You've repeatedly asked the Lord to help out. So we have the offer here. The man offers a request to Jesus, kind of like a prayer. Help me out, Jesus. And then in this text, we also have the point at which the prayer is answered. I'm just going to say, it doesn't say it here in the text. I'm going to say it 7 p.m. on Tuesday is when that prayer is answered. Now, why do I say that? That's because we know that Jesus spoke to this man at Monday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And the thought is by scholars and writers that know this text really well and the geography of the area, we think what happened was the man stayed the night in Cana because you wouldn't get up and travel at 2 in the afternoon, then get stuck halfway to Capernaum. The thought is that he went to bed, went to sleep in Cana. The very next morning, he then traveled 18 miles back to Capernaum. And as he was getting close to Capernaum, a messenger comes on his way as described in the text. And it's about, let's say, nighttime, about 7 o'clock. That's when he finds out that his prayer has been answered. That's a span of 30 hours. 30 hours between offered prayer and prayer answered. What was this man doing for those 30 hours? What was his attitude? What was his approach? Well, I think no one would blame him. No one would blame him for wanting to take action and putting together a plan to figure out his dilemma and his problem. This man was a man of action. This man got things done. Again, an advanced Bible study nugget here for you. In the Greek, this man is called basileikos, which has a very technical term. It's defined as a royal official, but what that really means is that he is the one person who's under the king. He's pretty high up. There's only one person above this man. To equate that to what that would be in our time and setting today, this would be the White House Chief of Staff. That's who this is. Now, I don't know about you, but a White House Chief of Staff is someone who takes action and figures things out. I imagine the White House Chief of Staff is the one who gathers the defense ministers and they figure out a game plan for the troops. I imagine the White House Chief of Staff gets the economic experts together to figure out inflation and all the challenges that go on with the economy. I imagine the White House Chief of Staff actually tells the president sometimes what to do. Let me just put it to you this way. The White House Chief of Staff, or the basileikos, is not someone who puts on their resume, "I'm someone who patiently waits for things to unfold." You wouldn't put that on your resume. You're not going to get hired for the job. You got to be a man of action and activity. Now, I think we can relate to that in our own prayer life, can't we? We pray, but then don't we strategize on how we want the outcome to go and be?